Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind. Stevie TPFL and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Let's go! Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, May 24th, and if we're excluding the Miami-Tampa game, we got a nice little 14-game slate. We don't have a Kershaw on the hill, but we do have some aces, so we got a lot to talk about here. We got pitchers to pick on, we got pitchers to target, we got a little bit of in-between, so it's a really good slate for cash games, really good slate for tournaments at first glance, so it's a slate where, you know, you got the cash game guy in my host or my co-host here, who I'll announce here in a second, and then you got the tournament thought process in myself. But before we get into that, let's talk about our friends over at fantasydraft.com. I've been haunting them all week about getting a survivor up, and they actually have another survivor contest up here. It's only a $5 tournament. So if you guys haven't checked out their survivor tournaments yet, check out this one. It's only $5. If you haven't checked out fantasydraft.com yet, remember, if you like the podcast, you know, go over to FantasyDraft, give them a shout, use promo code Grinders. That way you guys get incentives here at Roto Grinders for a year for free. It's $180 value and 100% deposit bonus up to $600. So let's get into my guest. Dean 86, 71, 32, 21, 16. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, Stevie? It's 7904, and you can remember that because it's like your three favorite drivers, the 78, the 9, and then the 04, right? That's one of the pennies?
No.
No? No. None of those? Not one of those guys is a driver?
I actually knew it was 78904. I just like, you know, busting your balls, you know, just because, like, everybody messed up my name so much when, you know, they started using it. And, like, so anytime I see numbers and names, I just, like, completely – I just have to kind of troll you about it.
No, that's totally understandable. I get it. It's, you know, it's just weird that enough people, like, even know what it is. They memorize it, which is odd. I guess it just kind of pops up enough. A couple things before we get started. I just want to – if you don't mind. First of all, you said Clayton Kershaw. Are we sure he's an ace? Because he has, like, three strikeouts. I guess, what are we saying? It's tonight, yesterday, what day are we pretending it is?
Oh, no, everybody knows we record the night before.
All right, well, he's I mean, look, I was promised strikeouts, and I'm not really getting them. I'm not getting enough. I need more strikeouts from Clayton Kershaw. Two, apologies in advance. It's always dangerous to have me on as a co-host when it's a 14-game slate, because I can yap and I can get a little bit wordy. So feel free to cut me off at any point and say, all right, you know what, Dean? It's 14 games. People have things to do. Let's go. Let's go to the next game. And three, I'm not sure if you caught my little rant. I wouldn't call it a rant necessarily, but I just happened to randomly mention we were doing the 5:30 show the other day, and we were talking about how Ty Dillon was on your podcast, and I'm like, we were doing the promo for Ty Dillon, with asking the questions and all that.
Yeah,
and
I was like, I heard this rant.
So then I was like, okay, so let me, for people who didn't hear it. It wasn't a rant. That's probably the wrong word. But I was like, thinking of Stevie, he had me on his podcast about 2 months ago or so. I thought it went swimmingly. I thought it went well. He's yet to invite me back. I don't know. There's something. Did I miss a signal of some sort? Did something happen? Did I say the wrong thing? And I understand there's a lot of talent here at Roto Grinders. I get it. You know, I'm just kind of – we're good, right? Like 10 people didn't cancel at the last second. You're like, all right, screw it. I'm going to call Dean.
No, I have a list of probably 15, 20 people that I've worked with already. And everybody enjoys doing it, so I try to rotate everybody in. I only have one standing guest, and that's Hoop. He comes on every Monday and Friday. So definitely nothing about you, Dean. You know, me and you are buddies, my friend.
All right, I just get a little self-conscious sometimes. I just want to make sure that you know, we're on the up and up here.
Listen, when I told Katie, my lady, that I was doing the podcast with you tonight, she's the first person to say, "Hey, make sure you say Dean or hi to Dean for me."
Ooh, does she have any friends?
Like, you know, come on. She doesn't say that with everybody else.
I wouldn't think so.
All right, well, we did say that we have a lot to talk about here with this slate. We got, you know, David Price, Chris Sale. We got top options here on the slate. So we got a lot to talk about. So let's jump in. Arizona at Pittsburgh, Shelby Miller, Francisco Laureano. Francisco Laureano, his last time out was a matchup here with Atlanta. I said if he didn't pitch well, I was done with him. And my friend, I'm done with him.
Wow, you're breaking up with Francisco Laureano. I don't think he's necessary. Just when you like look around the slate, You mentioned David Price. Chris Sale is there. So Marshall's got an amazing matchup against San Diego. We know Strasburg's facing the Mets. We have a really down price as far as David Price. We'll get to it in a second as far as specific on DraftKings. DraftKings and, of course, the sponsor as well, Fantasy Draft. For whatever reason, David Price really, really priced down. So I'm okay with Liriano. I suppose there's some tournament upside. But, of course, he's just a roller coaster. And he's super volatile. It is a big ballpark. Taking Arizona out of the, you know, one of the best hitters ballparks in all baseball, putting him in Pittsburgh. I don't want to roster anybody against Liriano. I mean, I suppose Goldschmidt, yeah, versus lefties. It's definitely a contrarian move because, again, the ballpark and the matchup's not good. But I understand. I get it. I've been burping Liriano, too. I was right there with you last time. I think it was against Atlanta. And there was some BABIP going on, too, if you watched that game.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he got unlucky in that game. I definitely will say that he wasn't getting smashed. It was little singles here, little singles there. It wasn't a game, but when we look at the Pirates, or not the Pirates, when we look at the Diamondbacks, you know, they have the fourth highest team WOBA. They're not striking out over 20%, and their WRC plus is really solid against lefties this season. I don't think this is a matchup we necessarily want to target a left-handed pitcher. They hit Jaime Garcia the other day, and he's pitching much better than Laureano this season. Shelby Miller, I want nothing to do with Shelby Miller. He's really regressed over the last year, year and a half.
Yeah, you want to throw lefties at him. There's John Jaso. I don't get enthused about John Jaso, especially when he occupies that first base spot. You have to kind of hit your first base spot because so many first basemen on any given night are going to do something. And Jaso probably just does something, but not enough of something. And he's going to get you a single, maybe just a walk. He'll go like, you know, 1-for-4 with an RBI. He's probably not going to get a zero, but he's generally not going to dong for you either. I'm never enthused about rostering him. I guess Polanco, you want to throw a lefty there at Shelby Miller. Polanco is probably the guy. Matt Joyce, if he's a super punt, I suppose, if he draws a start. But basically, the only place I'm looking there is Polanco.
Yeah, you know, Jaso is a guy that we mention all the time on the podcast because Fantasy Draft, you have three infielders and two utility spots, so you don't really have to necessarily leave out a first baseman when you're playing him. But his price tags creeped, and when it was 6,200, he was in play for me. 7,200, you're still getting a leadoff hitter in a plus matchup, but there's better options at that price tag. I agree with you on Polanco. So now looking at the other side of things, the Diamondbacks here, when you think about the Diamondbacks, you think Goldschmidt against the lefty, obviously, Segura against the lefty, and you think about, you know, the Beef Castillo, those are the three main bats, but then you look at their numbers, and a lot of these guys are hitting lefties well.
Yeah, but again, also Liriano, like I know you said you're done with him, I get it, I understand, but this stuff is really, really good, and he's just not a guy I want to attack necessarily. It's a weird slate. There's not a lot of pitchers I want to attack, and Liriano is definitely one I don't want to go at, especially, you know, when I'm considering my cash game lineup. I know you're the tournament guy. Are you expecting there's a potential blowout? Is that something that you would do? Maybe have a little mini stack there for Arizona? I make a few tournament lineups a night. This is probably not where I would go.
I don't know if I would tournament stack this game. It's at Pittsburgh. If this game was at Arizona and Chase Field, it just completely would change our minds on this game. Even at you as a cash player, I think that would change your mind. If I'm looking at anything here, I'm looking at Goldschmidt because, you know, especially on FanDuel's price tag's 4,200. He'll probably go overlooked at that high price tag. And it would be Segura and Beef Castillo. Just he has a massive amount of upside against left-handed pitching.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm fine with him. And again, the ballpark just not really ideal there in Pittsburgh. Can I go on a little rant here about FanDuel and their pricing? I'm not sure if you looked at it or not. Of course, this is a fantasy draft show. But the FanDuel pricing, pretty much any player was bumped up about $300, $400, $500 today. Everyone.
Good. I love a tighter cap.
Not good. No.
No, I love a tighter cap.
No, it's too tight, though. There's a happy median somewhere, and it's too tight. I'm telling you, you're going to make your lineups tomorrow. You're a Red Sox fan. Good luck making your Red Sox stacks because it's not happening.
Well, that's good. I like that. Like, you know, we're gonna talk about players here where we'll have value, and I already see one of the guys that I want as a value play.
Chris Young.
Yeah, of course. So there's value. I love when it's tight. So Toronto at New York, taking on the Yankees, Nathan Eovaldi against R.A. Dickey. Dickey's knuckleball has not been moving this season. Good matchup here for the Yankees. Eovaldi's a guy that I love targeting personally. Gives up a lot of home runs. What's your thoughts here?
Yeah, Eovaldi, get that, you know, a nice fastball as far as speed, but not a lot of movement on it. Short porch there in the left field. You're interested in the lefties there for Toronto, right? Well, all the lefties. I mean, just all the power, of course. Even the righties, guy like Donaldson, guy like Bautista, they can all bang one out. But hey, here's a perfect example. Michael Saunders, pretend you're not looking right now, or don't look. What do you think the price on Michael Saunders is on FanDuel right now?
Yeah, you said his name and I looked. That's $3,900. Good. It's a lefty at Yankee Stadium.
That's not fair market value. That is not fair market value. That is hurricane prices right there. I'm sorry. It's hurricane prices on FanDuel tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Brian McCann and Gardner, only 32 and 3,400.
That's actually those are steals considering everybody else.
Okay, so then it's a great slate for guys like us.
I don't know, man. I'll see. I'm still kind of tinkering with it, but I don't like it. I like to have some cheapies, and I like my cheapies. And there's not a lot of cheapies out there. And a guy like Chris Young, we'll talk about soon enough. He's going to be really popular just because he somehow did not get the price bump.
Good. Anyway, so you mentioned Saunders. And, you know, where you can get him cheap, FanDuel is probably too expensive at that price tag. But the power righties are in play here, Bautista. Donaldson's only 3,800. That's a guy you can look at in tournaments. I'm done with Tulo. I just don't see the upside with him anymore. I know he's had a couple good games. It's just I feel like if I keep fading him, I'm going to end up making more money than, you know, trying to get him right.
I never saw you as a never again guy. You play this game long enough. Did you really stick to it when you say you're done? Like at some point, if the over-under's
I ran it about Brandon Phillips when he hit like five home runs in five straight days. And I had him one day because second base was awful, but that was only because second base was awful and he was batting fourth. But I don't play Brandon Phillips. Like I just don't see the upside with Tulo. If he continues to hit the way he's been hitting over the last three or four games, then I might look at him again. If he gets his average over 250, it's 205 right now.
Okay, so when you say never again, it's not like it's kind of like an air quotes, or it's like not to be taken 100% seriously.
Okay, so never again probably wasn't right with Tulo or Laureano. Not right now.
There you go. That's not as fun to say. It's not as bold.
It's not
as, right now.
That isn't as fun. Anyway, but who do you like here for the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, again, the price bump, the Ellsbury and Gardner, but they're still certainly interesting. I'm not really sure what Dickey's going to bring to the game, how the knuckleball is going to knuckle. So they're always interesting, if nothing else, for tournaments. But sure, I don't mind those prices. I don't feel like I have to go there, but if it's one of those things, it's like last man in, I have 3,400 left. Okay, Brett Gardner, welcome to the squad.
The Mets at the Washington Nationals.
I'm sorry, one quick question. I don't mean to cut you off, but what about Mark Teixeira? He's one guy, even FanDuel said, you know what, we can't do it. We can't raise his price. He's 2,500. That's just silly. I mean, he's just been absolutely awful. And I also wanted to say, actually, I had a note here. Justin Smoke, the Smoke Monster, is one guy who's kind of cheap as well. E5, Evan Encarnacion's 3.7, but Smoke is 2.7. That's a pretty fair price. Split hitter, and he's much better from the left-hand side. So he's on this positive side. And he's facing a pitcher that has trouble as far as power lefties, and there's that short porch in left field. So I think Justin Smokes is a very fine punt. Teixeira, I don't know. I don't want to say never again, but I'll find the $200 more and get Smoke instead of Teixeira.
Yeah, I don't know how you stand on this, and, you know, it's different with everybody. I love looking at BVP, especially against knuckleball pitchers. And Teixeira, 6-for-22, two home runs, 273 average, but only three strikeouts there. At 2,500. He's in that five spot. I definitely think I'll look at him. I don't think I'll play him in cash games, but I definitely think he's playable.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, when he hit those home runs against Dickey, he had, like, a functional back, right?
Yeah. The injury definitely worries me. That's why I said I can't play him in cash games. But if you're saying it's a tough cap, and, you know, I haven't tried to build a team yet, and I want a guy like Sale, or if I want a guy like Price – I'm going to need some value, and why not take a shot at Teixeira at 2,500?
I'm with you. I understand. I can't complain.
Mets at the Nationals, Steven Strasburg, Matt Harvey. Steven Strasburg has just pitched very well this season. I'm fully aboard Team Straws. What's your thoughts?
Love Team Straws. And what is the line here? Because we know Matt Harvey's broken on the other side, so you got to figure he's a pretty fair-sized favorite. Let's see. Let's pull it up. Strasburg is a -160 favorite there against the Mets. 7 over under, and the Mets also lost Lucas Duda. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's probably a good thing for Strasburg, although that was possibly two or three strikeouts. But who's going to play first? Campbell? He's not good either.
Yeah, Campbell, then you get a righty-grimy matchup for Strasburg. So I definitely think the matchup plays in his favor. He pitched well against them. Last week he had 10 strikeouts against them, and the Nationals pounded Harvey. Kind of see the same thing coming here.
Yeah, I mean, it's another thing where I feel like I don't feel like I have to go there. I'm not going to force it. And again, I've been taking a peek at the prices as far as the hitters for Washington. You're not getting any discounts here. 4-3 for Harper. That's actually pretty reasonable. But okay, he's 4-3. Anthony Rendon is 4-2. How does that happen? How do you justify that price?
He's probably one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. He has multi hits in like four of the last six games.
Whatever. Daniel Murphy 3-9. How much revenge? How much does revenge cost? 3.9K these days?
Yeah, but Daniel Murphy's been, you know, he's what, second in home runs this year?
Well, that's fluky, though. That's going to adjust.
Oh, no, that's not Murphy. That's Walker.
Yeah, Walker, I think he had another one tonight, actually. And I don't know if it's against a lefty or not, but that's even crazier if it happens.
But, yeah, even Daniel Murphy, the Nationals' bats, for the most part, outside of Bryce Harper, have actually been swinging hot bats. So I could justify, again, I love the tighter cap, so you're ran into the wrong person.
Well, I'm going to keep bickering, just so you know.
Anyway, back to this game. I think Strasburg definitely an option here.
Sure.
I think he's unplayable in all formats. SP1, SP2 don't matter. You know, it's really going to come down to, do you want Strasburg, you know, at home against the Mets? Do you want Price at home against the Rockies? Or do you want our boy Chris Sale, who is off to an amazing start at home against the Indians? That's where you're going to come down to for cash games. Strasburg, definitely a guy you can look at. Let's talk some bats here. I don't really want any of the Mets bats. If I had to single out one, it would probably be Conforto.
Yeah, in a one-off, I suppose you can go with Conforto, but I have no interest. I mean, I'm not that I like to – every once in a while I'll be a little loopy. I'll go off the board in a GPP, but I cannot see myself clicking that button against Strasburg. He's just so elite.
I agree. But I do think you can stack up the Nats here, Harper, Rendon, Murphy, and Zimmerman in this matchup here against Harvey.
I guess. It's probably not what I'm going to do again. I don't love it. I mean, Harvey is bad. It's the Dark Knight. I don't want to spoil any. Have you seen the recent Batmans? He eventually gets better, you know.
Well, let's hope that, you know, Harvey definitely gets better. We're hoping DeGrom gets better too, so we'll see.
What's wrong with DeGrom? He's not throwing the ball fast anymore.
They're saying that he's having a lot of playoff lag with his arm.
I think they're missing Darno as well. I know it has nothing to do with miles per hour, but I feel like him not being back there is an issue as well.
That's a big issue. I've watched a couple Mets games, and don't even get me started on Ren Rivera.
Yeah, otherwise, this game's basically that's pretty much it for this game as far as I'm concerned.
The Cubs at the Cardinals, Jason Hamill, Michael Wacha. Wacha, another pitcher that we had a lot of promise for this guy, and he just really hasn't shown anything over his last few starts. Any interest here against the Cubs?
I mean, the Cubs are always a GPP team. That lineup, that offense is just awesome. They are, again, once again, really, really expensive. We got Fowler's in the 4Ks here. You know, Bryant's 4-3. Rizzo's always one of the most expensive first baseman. Actually, he's dipped a little bit to 3-8. That's pretty fair. But Zobrist, the Zorilla at 4K? Come on. How do you justify that? It's not a hitter's ballpark. Wacha, he's kind of an enigma, man. I cannot figure him out. I never really know when to roster him, when to pick on him. I suppose you can justify a tournament here. A one-off, I probably won't do it. If I am going to go with a one-off, it would be a guy like Rizzo. I like Rizzo's power. As far as Hamill, he's just somebody I don't really pick on for the most part. He's not somebody I really roster either unless he's super, super cheap and an SP2. But we know the Cardinals are one of the best hitting teams in baseball as far as WOBA when it comes to facing right-handed pitching. Also, Joe Maddon's always lurking. He's shown the propensity to pull Hamill somewhat early in the past for whatever reason. He doesn't go too deep in games. I don't think he's gone – yeah, he hasn't gone beyond 6 2/3 all season. So you cannot just – I mean, 6.2K on FanDuel, like, that's just a ridiculous price. You can't pay that.
I think Madden's playing for the playoffs. I think he's really limiting his pitchers this season.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And it makes sense because they are – you know, I don't see why the Cubs – how the Cubs would not make the playoffs this year. And, you know, baseball, it's about being healthy more than anything else. I mean, I'll just avoid the wild card playing game. You know, if you're healthy, you're good to go. It doesn't really matter the regular season. Just get in.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think you can look at some of these bats in tournaments. I'm not going to pick on Hamill a lot. You know, outside of Piscotty, maybe Grucek, those are the two power bats. Those are the guys that I want here. And then I don't mind the Cubs stack, you know, Bryant, Fowler, Zobrist, Rizzo, you know, kind of mixing in some of those guys. I don't hate it here for tournaments. I think we haven't really found, you know, a sweet spot for cash games yet.
We haven't. I've taken a look at the slate, and it's like this – there's not so many obvious places to go, but there's definitely some places to go. We haven't really crossed that just yet.
Philadelphia at Detroit, Justin Verlander and Jeremy Hellickson. Verlander.
Yeah, I'm
impressed. I watched almost his whole start last time out against Minnesota, and I was really impressed.
So what does he have? 27 strikeouts in his last three starts, no less than eight. If he had that one blip, of course, against Cleveland, but if you erase that game, so six of his last seven games, at least 40 FanDuel points, which is amazing. 8.5 Ks, probably not somebody, but definitely not somebody I can trust for cash games, just because we've seen this before with Verlander, where he's good in spurts. The matchup here is good against Philadelphia. Now, he's also a reverse splits guy, and I would imagine Philadelphia is going to keep rolling out lefties against him. So he should be fine. I like Verlander. Again, cash game, probably not where I would go, just because I don't believe he has the upside, even though he's shown it lately. Just, you know, at any given day, it could happen. But I feel much better about a guy like Strasburg. But 8.5K, I'm perfectly fine with Verlander in tournaments.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a very popular tournament play here. When you're looking at the slate, you're looking at the sites, and on a one-pitcher site like FanDuel, you know, his price tag, you know, just makes it more interesting to get some bats in. When you're playing on Fantasy Draft or DraftKings, Fantasy Aces, any of these two-pitcher sites, I definitely think Verlander is a guy you can look at in cash games. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. Just the Philadelphia Phillies ranked 27th in Team WOBA against righties. They just don't have any power. Tommy Joseph is their power hitter now?
Hey, he banged another one out last night.
Yeah, I know. I played him in cash on every site, but, you know, it's a much different matchup when you're facing a guy like Mike Pelfrey and a guy like Justin Verlander.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So here's the thing with Verlander over on a Fantasy Draft. He's the fourth most expensive starting pitcher, $21,200. You work your way down. I mean, okay, so David Price, again, I feel like you have to lock him in at 17-2. Can you pay for Strasburg with David Price? Is that something you can make work on Fantasy Draft, or is that just too much money? Too much salary delegated to your starting pitchers?
No, you usually look for a guy in the $15,000-$16,000 range. So I definitely think your SP2 could definitely be David Price.
Ooh, Liriano's really cheap at 16.5.
Nope.
Not that I trust them in cash games, but that's a really intriguing number for tournaments. That's pretty cheap. Come on. He's like the 12th guy down or something like that.
Yeah, you can have fun with that 12th guy down.
I think you should reconsider your never again.
Not never again, just not right now.
There you go.
Jeremy Hellickson, he's a guy that struggles with right-handed bats. We're going to see a lot of right-handed bats here for the Tigers. Miguel Cabrera is extremely hot right now. 4,400 is a really, really fair price tag for him on FanDuel.
Yeah. Banged two more out last night. He's been just killing the ball. And sure, I'm not going to talk you out of Rossi Miggy Cabrera. He doesn't care if the guy's righty or lefty. He'll just smash anybody. Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with Cabrera. JD Martinez, another guy that has ridiculous power as well. The ballpark is not exactly great, for homers, but it works for those guys because their power is just so good. I saw, just getting back to Verlander for a second, I'm not really sure why, but Odubel Herrera left the game last night. I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but that's definitely worth noting. If he doesn't play for Philadelphia, that would weaken that lineup because he's been really good this year. It would have him scrambling because he's their leadoff hitter, and basically that would set up Verlander for a much better spot.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. He got pulled by the coach for jogging to first base on a ground ball.
Oh, he was dogging it?
Yeah, so they just, will the coach said in one game that, you know, you're losing your leadoff hitter and Philly is a good team. Like,
what about narrative streaks? Like an apology dong. Like, I'm sorry for dogging it last night. I will never do it again. Here's the homer.
Yeah, Verlander's a guy that can give up homers, so, you know, I don't hate it.
There you go. He does have that issue historically, but yeah, recent history. But sure. I mean, Detroit again. Hellickson's a guy you can definitely target. V-Mart, a catcher. How much is he a catcher tonight on FanDuel? 3-4. Another guy got a $400 bump. He's okay. He's fine. Not going to argue with it at all. He's been what, smashing righties this year, right? I think it's righties he's been killing.
And Justin Upton, he got scratched day to day with a quad injury. If he's out, Moya probably be in the lineup in that sixth spot. He's only 2,200 on FanDuel.
He gets the hook all the time, though. He, for some reason, they can't let him play nine innings.
He's just a power guy. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't have a good glove. They talked about this guy on the broadcast the other night. He doesn't have a good glove, but he has power. So if you get three or four at bats from him, who cares if you don't get the last at bat?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he's definitely a fine punt. I agree. I will not argue with it at all.
Yeah, you know, when we're looking at Hellickson, almost a 35% hard contact to lefties, you know, dating back to last year. And his ground ball rate's only 37%. So he's not getting a lot of hard ground balls. It's line drives, it's fly balls, you know, it's home runs. So, you know, if you're going to punt, why not a 2,200 guy in a matchup where he can hit a home run? Still doesn't have his first major league home run, so narrative street there, Dean.
There you go. We're looking forward to that. That'll be good times.
Any other bats that you want to mention before we move on?
No, I mean, usual suspects there in Detroit.
Colorado at Boston. De La Rosa for Colorado getting activated from the DL to pitch in this game at Fenway. And David Price, ever since Dustin Pedroia noticed something with David Price tipping off pitches two starts ago, he's looked really good.
Yeah, and again, I'm not sure like they're factoring what recently happened as far as David Price. He's been good. He had some hiccups, of course, along the way, some really bad starts. So as a whole, if you look at his stats of the season, they have not been great as far as, you know, fantasy points per game. But I agree. I mean, I think it's definitely coming together, and you're getting yourself a bargain. I love a bargain. We were talking about hurricane prices before. On fantasy draft, I at 7.2K, it just seems like an absolute steal. I know he's 8.9K on DraftKings. That's just going to be hard for me not to play David Price in cash games. Colorado, pretty good offense traditionally here against lefties, but again, that's in Coors Field. When you look at the WRC+, plus, which adjusts for ballpark, they're pretty much middle of the road there, so not too scary. And, of course, they strike out. I want to say it's the fifth most against lefties this season, so there's some upside as well for David Price.
Yeah, when you're looking at the Rockies, you're right. Fifth most at 25%, which is actually three teams tied there. So, you know, it technically could be the fourth or the sixth most. But either way, they're striking out at a 25% clip against lefties. David Price, a strikeout pitcher. Love his price on fantasy draft. Just, you know, like Dean said, lock him in over there. Don't hate his price at 10.7 on FanDuel. We don't want Jorge De La Rosa here against the Red Sox, right?
No. And so, yeah, I mean, Xander Bogaerts obviously is a nice play for sure. Hanram, basically, what is the over-under in this game? I would imagine, you know, the Colorado bullpen's not very good. We're getting De La Rosa activated off the DL. Actually, he had some minor league starts as well. But let's see. I'd imagine it's a big number.
It's 8.5.
All right. I thought it'd be bigger for some reason, but I guess that factors in David Price as well. Minus 240, 8.5. So they're expecting the Red Sox to have a fair number of those runs. Jackie Bradley Jr., have you been in on this party? Because I, you know, I'm like, well, he's home and he's batting ninth and he's going to get three at bats if they win. So I can't roster this guy and he gets three home runs in his first three at bats. And I'm like, well, I'm very smart.
He's the definition of a tournament play. I've been playing him a ton because he hits like seventh, eighth, and like you said, he's like three at-bats a night, and he just continues to mash.
They did move him up to like seven. Is that where he's lurking these days with the like with Swihart back there?
Yeah, Swihart's been playing in the outfield because Holt got hurt. Bradley Jr. at 4,300 on FanDuel. Again, it's a lefty-lefty matchup, so it's a definition of a tournament play. He hits left-handed pitching well.
Yeah, for sure. I can't click that button. I just can't. Again, the cash guy in me, 4.3K, and if he's batting seventh, and if it's an eight-inning game for Boston's offense, which I think it will be, you never really know. Of course, it's baseball. But the other part of it is, of course, De La Rosa's not going to pitch the entire game, and they'll probably throw a righty at some point. So, and Bradley can certainly hit lefties. So it's, I want to get as many at bats as possible in the best position possible, and I just don't think. I'm not positioning myself for a ton of bats, especially what's the cost per at bat? Because that's what I look at too. I'm like, okay, this guy's 2.2K, he might get pinch hit for, but if he gets three at bats, he's only $700 in a bat. Jackie Bradley, we're talking about like 1.3 per at bat.
Yeah, you make fair points. That's why I said he's a tournament play.
Yeah, no, you're right, because all you need is one swing. Just one swing, you justify that price.
Yeah, and he'll probably be really low owned, his high price tag, lefty-lefty matchup. I don't hate it there.
Pedroia, of course, as well.
Yeah, Pedroia, you know, Hanley Ramirez, Mookie Betts, all these guys are in play here. Be interesting to see if Travis Shaw's in the lineup or not, because they're saying that he's unlikely to play, is what I'm reading here. So if he's out of the lineup, it's a good chance we see Chris Young play the whole game and not get pinch hit for.
Ooh, I like Chris Young. He's 2.5K versus lefties. There you go. Lock and load.
Yep. He's going to be my first fantasy draft play. Every day I give out three fantasy draft plays that I feel like are way underpriced that you can look at for cash games. He's only 6K over there.
Ooh, when that's you're too watching. Cheap.
Yeah, when you're wanting to fit in two guys at the top for pitchers, 6K for Chris Young in a matchup against lefty at home. Good price tag for him here.
I gotta say, fantasy draft, I haven't been playing there as much as I'd like to. Just I tend to do, you know, they do the 5:30 show on Roto Grinders, of course, and it's just hard to manage so many lineups. But I would really like to play here more. I love their setup, and when, you know, on the weekends I'll try to get in there sometimes. And I just like, you don't have to play catchers, you don't have to play shortstops. You can get three first basemen if you want to. That's awesome.
You could actually technically get five first basemen.
Sure, there with the utility spots. There you go.
We don't want to take any bats here against David Price, right?
No.
Milwaukee at Atlanta, Jimmy Nelson, Julio Teheran. Teheran, massive game last time out. It frustrated a lot of people, including myself, against Pittsburgh. He looked really good, didn't need strikeouts, pitched to contact, and didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you know, the other part of it, again, we had that thing with Shelby Miller's face in Pittsburgh, and it's kind of a similar instance in some degree where Pittsburgh, where, you know, Miller's not really good against lefties. Teheran's got a bad history against lefties as well, and there's just not a lot of lefties there in Pittsburgh. All right, so what am I getting at? Teheran's going to face Milwaukee. Milwaukee does not have a lot of lefties either. Their lefties they do have, they're not imposing at all. What is it, Kirk Nieuwenhuis? You know, he's okay, I suppose, to be super cheap. The Scooter, he's not terribly exciting. Alex Presley, you don't want to play him. All their bats are righty, and also Teheran is much better at home, and he's been pretty decent this year. Like, I know the peripherals aren't amazing, but Milwaukee is just a team that strikes out a lot, and they have a lot of righties, and Teheran's at home. And you know, I think he's – I mean, the price is not that great, 8.2K in FanDuel. I would want to pay $300 more and grab Verlander. But I'm not going to talk anybody out of rostering him. I think it's okay.
Yeah, kind of what I was thinking. I don't think I would roster him here because we just have so many options. When you're looking at the slate and overall looking back – from, you know, 2015 to current, Teheran has the best numbers as far as WOBA goes against right-handed bats. So I don't think this is a matchup you want to load up on, you know, Ryan Braun. Chris Carter, always a tournament play. Luke Roy has been, you know, really serviceable at his low price tag. So if you want to look there, if you want to look cash games, I definitely think you can look at a guy like Scooter who has a really good chance to pick up that fifth at-bat, batting in the two spot on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you need a punt, again, we talked about how, at least I talked about on FanDuel, the price, you know, the salaries are tough. It's a tough squeeze. Is the Scooter a full punt or no? He's 2.7. That $500 really does a lot to me. I don't know. If he's leading off or batting second, top of the order, you never know, VR might be up there. They kind of shuffle things around. And I suppose maybe, but I'm not terribly enthused. The upside isn't great, but Scooter does have a nice history against righties. And Teheran does struggle against lefties, but I think Teheran gets the better of him. And then on the other side, you got Slippin' Jimmy Nelson. He's best at home. So once he's in the road, okay, he's out. I don't want to play Jimmy Nelson. I can't do it. But he's facing the Braves. But the price isn't very good. It's not very appealing. So I can't really roster him. Again, he's 8.4K in FanDuel. On Fantasy Draft, I think he's up there as well, like too expensive. 17.6. Again, more expensive than David Price. Ridiculous. And, okay, so we want to roster lefties against them. Although lefties have not been very good, but traditionally lefties have smashed them. The other thing we know about Jimmy Nelson is he's not good holding on runners. So Malik Smith, I know he always bats ninth pretty much. I can't roster that guy. But if you have the guts to roster somebody playing ninth, he's a lefty and he's got ridiculous speed. If he gets on base against Slippin' Jimmy, you get at least maybe a bag or two.
Yeah, I like him a lot for tournaments. Upside is crazy high with his ability to steal bags, like you said, Jimmy Nelson's a guy that doesn't really hold people on very well. So I definitely think that you can look at a guy like him. And, I love Freddie Freeman right now. Everything Freddie Freeman is hitting right now is hard. And he's passing the eye test like crazy. So, you know, the numbers really have been up and down over the last week for him. But I'll tell you one thing. In the last week, you know, he might not have – a massive amount of home runs, but he's hitting everything hard right now.
No, I watched the game. He double-donged in, where was it, with Pittsburgh? I can't recall what city he was in.
Philadelphia,
there you go. And he looked absolutely locked in. And, you know, we talked about the struggles there with lefties as far as Jimmy Nelson. And I think Freddie Freeman makes for a fine cash game play. Just kind of my overview of the slate. We'll talk about the next guy that's in a similar price point, but that's kind of like that's going to come down to my decision based upon lineup construction. But Freeman is a guy I would be thrilled with to have in my cash game lineup.
Any other bats you want to mention here? Inciarte batting leadoff. You mentioned the struggles for Nelson to hold people on. The problem with Inciarte is he's just not been able to get on base since returning from injury.
I can't recommend. I already feel gross recommending two Braves, so I can't recommend anymore. That's it.
I don't mind Inciarte when, you know, if he's cheap somewhere, he's a leadoff hitter that if he gets on base, he will run. So, you know, take that in consideration. Any other bats that you want to mention here before we move on?
No, I think we're good.
Angels at Rangers, Martin Perez against Chacin. Oh, these two guys. I'll let you take it from here.
I hate this game. It's a great ballpark, obviously. I think it's the biggest over-under of the night. It's a 10. I don't like Martin Perez. I mean, he seems like he's not a very good pitcher, but he's a ground ball pitcher, so he's not a guy that's going to give up three homers. And he walks a lot of guys. So I just feel like if you look at that Angels lineup, Martin Perez looks at the lineup too. He knows who he's facing. Why is he going to pitch to Trout? Just walk Trout like he walks, you know, four guys a night on any given night. And then what other Angels are you interested in? Cole Calhoun, lefty and lefty. It's I'm not really intrigued. I suppose Pujols is interesting, but again, Pujols, you know, way past his prime, and I suppose he's worth a look. Maybe CJ Cronin in the tournament. We were having a conversation earlier tonight. Like, how do you stack the Angels? I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The one guy that I continue to play here, and I've been playing him a lot, is Giovatella. He's hot, man.
He's so hot.
He has multiple hits in, like, what, 7 out of his last 11 games?
He's still Johnny Giovatella. I mean, yeah, Johnny G has got no upside.
I don't even care. If he's going to keep getting me 2 hits a night and under 5% owned, I'm going to continue to play him.
Who's hotter, Johnny Giovatella or Hansel?
Who?
I dropped a little Zoolander reference on you. You don't know Hansel?
Yeah, I've never seen Zoolander.
Oh, Stevie, come on. We got to have a movie.
How many times have we talked about movies? I don't watch movies. I watch sports.
But you've seen a movie. Like, it could have been Zoolander.
Maybe a movie. You're right. Like, the only time I watch a movie is, like, the lady's like, hey, let's watch a movie. I'm like, oh, okay. or my kid wants to watch a Disney movie. You know, I can name a lot of Disney movie references.
No, I wouldn't get any of those. I don't have any kids.
All right, so looking at the other side of things here, Chacin, really strong start to the season, you know, but he struggled lately, and he struggles with lefties. Do we want to target guys like Odor, Fielder, Mazzara here?
Fielder is awful, but the price is really, really cheap and tempting. Mazzara is certainly interesting, but he's been jerked around in that lineup, like dipping down to the number 7 spot sometimes. And Odor is going to have his hearing tomorrow, so I would imagine he would be suspended. Like, there's no chance. Like, the commissioners would be like, "Oh, okay, so you didn't mean to." Okay, 8 games down to 0. I apologize for that. Go ahead, Odor. Have a good day.
They say that if I'm not mistaking this, it usually takes a day to kind of get the final ruling, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. That is definitely worth watering. And I'm sure we'll know that before lineups come out. Obviously, we're recording
this. The only thing that could be interesting here is if Odor gets suspended, Mazzara might move up to that leadoff spot.
Ooh, yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued in that.
Because Chu came back from the DL and went right back on the DL.
He lasted a whole, like, 4 innings or so.
So if Mazzara's in that leadoff spot, that's definitely something you'd want to look at.
I agree. Didn't I see Drew Stubbs got hurt as well? I feel like Drew Stubbs hurt himself. I don't like what you're
Drew Stubbs. We don't need to talk about Drew Stubbs.
I don't want to talk him, but he wears a Texas uniform, and I believe he's in the DL now, if I'm not mistaken. I think he also was placed – he's got a toe.
Okay. Yeah. Another guy down for Texas. And Hamilton's out for the season again. Shocker.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Josh Hamilton just needs to throw in his gloves. He's done.
You mentioned Hamilton. I got my eye on the – I'm multitasking here. I have my eye on the Dodgers and then the Reds. Billy Hamilton right now is up against Clayton Kershaw. He's one strike away from getting the CGSO 1-0 score. He almost has a Maddox, but he's just a couple pitches over a Maddox, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's so good. Kershaw's just so good. You know what you're getting every time from Kershaw. It's great. Anyway, you know, back to this game. We mentioned some of the bats here. It all comes out to what happens with Odor, what kind of lineup spots we see. You know, if Desmond continues to hit in the 2 spot and Mazzara continues to hit in the 7 spot, it really lowers how much we like Mazzara here. So it'd be interesting to see where these guys hit in the order and if Odor's out there. Anything else you want to mention before we move on?
I mean, we should be more excited about the Angels, but I don't know how to get again, Mike Trout's an awesome play. The upside is awesome. The matchup is good. The ballpark is great. You're guaranteed nine innings being on the road. It was 80 degrees today in Texas. Not sure what the heat's going to be tomorrow, but I would imagine it'd be somewhere around there. But I don't know who to roster. I mean, you mentioned Giamatella. I can't do that enthusiastically. I guess he's okay. But even him, his price has been bumped up a little bit. He's no longer like a punt. And Texas, just check out that lineup because there, you know, there's a lot of interesting bats. And it, what was it, 2-0 tonight was the score. But I feel like I'm going to boldly say they score more than two runs tomorrow. How about that?
That's such a bold call there, Dean. the other bat that I want to mention for the Angels is, you know, Escobar has been hitting really well this season, and he does hit left-handed pitching really well.
I'll say I've not rostered Yunel Escobar the entire season.
That doesn't shock me at all. Baltimore at Houston. If we want some bats, this is probably a game that we're going to be able to look at one of these teams. Chris Tillman, Doug Fister. Chris Tillman, is he the real deal?
I don't know, but he's been really good, and the Astros have been really, really bad. So, I mean, again, the Astros are kind of like the Cubs in that they're always in play for tournaments because there's a lot of guys that have power, a lot of guys that can swipe bags. So you can get fantasy points pretty quickly with a Springer, with an Altuve, with a Correa. All those guys are interesting, but collectively, that Houston team, they should just put the crying Jordan right on the Astros because they've just not been good. And Tillman's been very good. So I mean, if the first place I'm looking, of course, Doug Fister is a magician sometimes too. He is so frustrating when you load up bats against him. But you got to think, you know, Baltimore is well positioned to bang out a couple homers with their sluggers, the Trumbom, Chris Davis. You got the Crawford boxes lurking out there in left field, Manny Machado. I mean, I feel like the Baltimore bats, again, on the road, it's not a big ballpark downgrade with Houston. Baltimore, of course, hits in a great ballpark there, Camden Yards. But the guaranteed nine innings. I love the guarantee of nine innings when you're hitting on the road, no matter how bad the score may be. So, love the Baltimore bats. The Houston bats are intriguing for tournaments, but, again, I don't feel like I have to pick on Tillman.
I don't think I'm going to pick on Tillman. Like, I just don't see a blow-up start. He's pitched so well this season. Like, he's given up a few hits here or there, but he's done – he's limiting the damage. I like Tillman a little bit. You know, you can target some of these guys if you can find them cheap, but you're paying such a premium for all the Houston bats. It's just tough to recommend these guys. Colby Rasmus, probably the one guy that I would recommend here against Chris Tillman just because he has the power upside and he's cheap. But now looking at the other side here for Baltimore, you mentioned Houston being a bigger ballpark, but left field is a short porch, man.
Oh, I know about those Crawford boxes.
Yeah, like, so we can target these lefties. You're like, you know, we know Trumbo's more of a pull hitter, so, you know, he gets a little bit of a bump here. And I love his price tag at $3,600.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Trumbo is he's kind of an all-or-nothing guy to some degree. And we've had these conversations before about, you know, when you're building cash game lineups, you're thinking floor. Well, everybody's floor is zero in reality. Anybody can go for four over five, no matter how good the matchup is. And they can hit five line drives to the wrong person, or any person, actually, for that matter of fact. You know, anybody who catches it, that's an out. But Trumbo, of course, you know, he's kind of volatile with the ups. He's got double dunk potential. We always say that. He certainly has it. And for sure, $3,600 is pretty fair. I'm not going to argue with it. Again, it's all about lineup construction, but if he somehow works in a lineup that you like everybody else around him, sure, I'll sign up on that.
So, you know, every day I give out three guys that I love on Fantasy Draft because of their price tags. You might actually like this one because I feel like this is more around, you know, the cash thinking. But Joey Rickard, only 6K here, batting leadoff. If he's in that leadoff spot at 6K, he's definitely a guy that I want to look over at Fantasy Draft for.
I'm not a big Joey Rickard fan, but I understand the price. The price is really good for Fantasy Draft. So, and leading off again at a pretty decent shot at 5 ABs, no problem with it. If Joey Rickard's not the guy you want, but if he's the guy that, you know, because of his salary, leads to getting the guys you actually do want, I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, if I'm building a cash lineup probably around Price and Strasburg or Price and Sale – over on Fantasy Draft, because you easily can fit in Price with his 17.2 price tag. And, you know, yeah, you get two guys over 26,000, you're going to have about, what, 7K off the top of my head. You're going to have about 7K of salary left to fill in, you know, your eight positional players. So if you put in two 6K guys like Young and Rickard, it's really going to open up things for you. So that's why I recommended those two guys at 6K.
There you go, Strasburg and Price. I just plugged it in just for fun. And, yeah, you have $7,087 to spend on your average player. So Yeah, Rickard's the kind of guy that can, you know, 6K, nice little discount, and he's going to be able to allow you to get an upgrade someplace else.
Yeah, and you get up to almost 7,500 with Rickard and Young. So you can make a good lineup with six $7,500-ish players.
Yeah, I like that foundation. No problem with it.
Any other bats that you want to mention here for Houston or Baltimore? Baltimore, it's the same guys, right? It's Trumbo, it's Chris Davis, it's Manny Machado. You know, it's the same guys, right?
Usual suspects, yeah.
Jonathan Scope in a tournament. I love his upside against righties.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on the price, of course. Some places he's just he's priced as a punt, at least he has been. Some places he's priced as an average player, and he's batting like seventh or eighth. He's kind of buried a little bit. So you just kind of like to know where you're shopping at, basically.
Yeah, it really comes down to what Dean just said. So Houston, if you're playing Houston against Tillman, and like I said, I really don't want to pick on Tillman. If you're playing Houston against Tillman, you're going to stack him. I'm not going to recommend any one-off guy. I'm going to play, you know, Rasmus, Springer, Correa, and Altuve.
Yeah, and I guess you can always stack Houston for sure. Again, I'm the wrong guy for this for tournament strategy sometimes. But I mean, I can certainly see a one-off. I can certainly see Correa banging one out. I can see Altuve getting a double and a swipe a bag, go 3-for-4 or something like that. But it's hard to envision this Houston lineup just waking up and just shellacking the Orioles. It's certainly possible, but I don't necessarily see that happening.
Moving on to the next game, we got Kansas City at Minnesota, the game that had some weather concerns and then it kind of tempered off and didn't have a lot of exposure there, but we got Ervin Santana against Edison Volquez. What's your thoughts on these two guys?
Two pedestrian pitchers. I don't want to roster either one. Neither one's like horrific enough where I feel like I have to target them. And I don't like rostering the Kansas City bats in general. The Kansas City's kind of a team that you're going to play. You kind of play them all. You just kind of hope they play merry-go-round around the bases because it's just hard to pick and choose who's going to do what. They just had Alex Gordon go on the DL, which is worth noting. The Moose Tacos just came back a couple days ago, so he's alive. Hosmer, sure, he's a thing. But power in that Minnesota ballpark for lefties is really, really subdued. It's hard to bang it out for lefties. So I wouldn't roster a guy like Hosmer. I wouldn't even roster the Moose. I would stay away. For righties, though, righties can bang it out there in Minnesota. Lorenzo Cain, just a guy I just pretty much never roster. Nothing against him. Amazing name, by the way. Just the greatest name of all time, possibly. But it's like this is mostly a game I'm basically pretending it's not happening.
I will say one thing here. Seeing the lineup come out, and you know, I had a guy on Twitter that actually follows the Royals, and he had told me about this guy. And then I saw the lineup come out, and I put him in a lineup because he was batting second. And Whit Merrifield, 3,900 on fantasy draft, and he hit second in this game.
Oh, all the Whit Merrifield. I actually threw him in a, you know, there was, like you said, there was weather concerns, you know, Monday night. And I was kind of sitting around waiting for an hour, just kind of seeing what was going on. And Kevin Roth, of course, the chief meteorologist here at Roto Grinders, he signed off that this game should be fine. And everything else I saw was like, well, there's going to be weather issues there. They're not going to play it. It's just not going to happen. And basically he said, you know, if there's issues, it'll be late in the game. But I think it's going to happen. At least, you know, you're going to get a good chunk of at-bats, good chunk of the game. And he was 2K on DK as well. And I'm like, all right, I'm all about that Whit Merrifield life. I didn't know Whit Merrifield was a thing, was a person. Apparently it exists. It's a human being. And he bats second for the Kansas City Royals. And I can't give you any analysis on him. I honestly can't. I have no idea. But anybody that's holding a piece of wood that's going to be swinging at a baseball 4 or 5 times a game for 2K, sure, at the top of the order, I'm all in. Not all in, partially in. At least a tip.
Yeah, well, anyway, like I said, he had tweeted me earlier in the day, you know, and said that he's a guy that I want to watch because not only can he get on base, he can steal bags. So I was intrigued. Min salary, batting second. If he's in that same spot, you know, I'll look at him again. You know, not on FanDuel. First base eligible, 3K. I'm not going to do it there, but on the side of the fantasy draft, under 4K for a two-hitter, like, automatically put him in your lineup.
No, you can't. You cannot burn your first base spot for this Merrifield guy who we just learned of his existence 2 days ago. But for sure, he's a great punt. What did you say? He's 3.9 on fantasy draft.
Yeah, free play.
Yeah, there you go. And now all of a sudden you can have a lot of fun. Load up all your big bats.
Yep, I agree. Now, looking at the other side of this game, you know, Vaquez, a guy, he's not terrible, but he's not anything that we're going to be afraid of. Normal suspects for me here, Miguel Sano, Park, and if Nunez is in the leadoff spot, I don't mind him where he's cheap.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals, like you got to wait for the lineup and anybody pops up and becomes a punt out of nowhere that maybe is normally bat second or first. They kind of mix things up sometimes in Minnesota. But you don't have to force anybody. We know Miguel Sano has got awesome power, and Volquez isn't somebody you're necessarily running away from. So, sure, he's in play. He's not an elite play, but for sure in play for tournaments.
Any of the bats that you want to mention here before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Cleveland at Chicago, White Sox, Josh Tomlin, Chris Sale. Love Chris Sale here, but I want to get your thoughts on Josh Tomlin first.
He doesn't walk anybody, which is good, I suppose, if you're putting the pitchers against him. He's got, five walks in the entire season? That's not that many. Flyball pitcher, though. Flyball pitcher in Chicago. So he's going from Cleveland to Chicago. And Chicago's kind of like the Angels. I don't know how to take advantage of bad pitchers. I know Jose Abreu's really good. Adam Eaton's a guy who doesn't have a monster upside, but his salary implies he's got a monster upside. And then there's guys like Melky Cabrera and Jimmy Rollins, who I want no part of. I don't want to talk to those guys, but I feel like I at least look at them.
Todd Frazier. Love, yeah. Todd Frazier here. Josh Tomlin, I wanted to get your thoughts because every time he has, you know, gets the pitch, I just cannot stand this guy. Like, he is pitching so much better than what he should be. He is not a good pitcher, and he continues to win, and it makes me so frustrated, Dean.
No, I get it. He's certainly worth picking on again, and he's doesn't walk a lot of guys, so the balls can be put in play, and there's fly balls, and, you know, again, Chicago. Certainly a hitter's ballpark. It's definitely one of those weather. You want to check in as far as the wind. You want to check in as far as how hot it's going to be. But, very, very good chance he gives at least one bomb, possibly two.
Yep, and I'm thinking Frazier and Abreu here. Those are the two guys I want. Any interest in taking any of these Cleveland bats against Chris Sale?
No, you're talking to a cash game player. No, not happening. Chris Sale is kind of a funky deal. This year he's talked about pitching the contact more this year. If we noticed, you know, he used to have an absolutely absurd, you know, K per nine. His strikeout ratio was just insane. It's still good. And the other part of it is, hey, he's not going seven. He's not going seven and a third. He's not going six and two thirds. He's gone nine his last two games. Now, I'm not guaranteeing nine innings again, but they're certainly stretching him out. They're letting him go. He's pacing himself better, I suppose. And he's still going to grab seven or eight Ks if he goes nine. So, sure, I'm certainly interested. As far as comparing against Strasburg, comparing against Price, I think he's the most expensive guy. Is he not?
He is.
And he's the most expensive guy by a good chunk, too. He's 12-3 on FanDuel. The next guy will be Jeff Samardzija, the Shark. We'll talk about him shortly. And then there's Price, and there's Strasburg, and then he who we will not mention, Francisco Liriano. But even on I think fantasy draft as well, I think he was a top pitcher. So he's probably relegated to tournaments just because, you know, you could step down to a Strasburg and do just fine and get yourself an extra bat or two. But, you know, I would, if you're rolling out five or six tournament lineups in total, I would not ignore Chris Sale.
I like him on DraftKings. I think he's probably number one as far as getting a complete game shutout here on DraftKings. You know, three complete games in nine starts this season. He's 9-0, man. Like, we can't overlook the fact that even though he's pitching more to contact, he's shown, you know, spots this season where he can obviously just turn it up whenever he wants.
Yeah, that CGSO or just the CG on DK, you get rewarded for those complete game shutouts, just complete games in general. We saw it tonight with Clayton Kershaw put up a 41 spot, even without a lot of strikeouts, just because you get the CGSO. Cueto is at back-to-back games. He's another guy that can go nine. I think he's – not sure if he's going to the night just yet or not. I should stop watching these games. I apologize for getting distracted. I'm multitasking, and I'm having a nice cash night, so I'm getting excited. Nonetheless, let me get back on track. Yeah, Chris Sale, like you said, it was a good point as far as playing him on DK. And again, David Price, 8.9K over there. You can certainly make it work. I made it work with Cueto and Kershaw. I made it work, because you got to find a bunch of punts, and it's doable. It's doable. What you can, and, you know, with David Price is 8.9K, and you can throw Sale in there and just have an elite floor. Again, you know, in theory, the floor on Sale and Price in cash games. How awesome is that?
I agree. I did that in tournaments tonight, Kershaw and Cueto.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Well, you know I throw my cash games in tournaments.
Yeah, but yeah, I love the Marlins and Rays game, and I stacked as many bats as I could in that game with those two guys. That's a good night for me. Anyway, moving on to the next game, Oakland at Seattle, Nathan Carnes against Kendall Graveman. I think Nathan Carnes is a really interesting tournament option here, so I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a big ballpark. Oakland is without Reddick, so that lineup is certainly just not that imposing. I guess there's Chris Davis that's lurking. There's Vogt, who's a pretty competent bat, you know, as a lefty against Carnes. Carnes is a weird guy. I'm not staring at his Fangraphs page, but what is it like? He's better. One of them he strikes out more. One of them he gives up more home runs against. He's kind of a reverse splits guy to some degree. What do you have on him?
Yeah, just, you know, like what you were, you know, kind of getting at was kind of right here with Carnes, you know, looking at his numbers against left-handed bats. He has a massive strikeout rate at 26%. It goes down to 20% against righties. You know, the numbers as far as WOBA are close, but gives up a lot more hard contact to righties. So kind of a reverse, kind of not. I don't know. He strikes out a lot of lefties. And when we're looking at the lefties here for Oakland, Vogt really, really, really not good this season. Coco Crisp isn't scaring anybody.
Oh, and he's terrible.
Chris Davis is dealing with an injury now.
He's got a wrist.
Yeah, a forearm wrist. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, what this lineup looks like.
Yeah, but then, okay, so Carnes is a 8.5K on FanDuel. You have Verlander at 8.5K. You got Tehran at 8.2K. Can you justify throwing Carnes in there? What do you make, like, what, 10 lineups a night or so? Would you consider one for Carnes? I don't think I would.
I would, just because I feel like Verlander is going to be like, and I'll have some shares of Verlander as well, but I feel like Verlander will be that 8,500 guy that everybody has. So I'll go Carnes with the chalk stack or something and try to be different at pitcher and hope Carnes outpitches Verlander.
Yeah, and I'm taking a peek here on a fantasy draft as well, the sponsor. And Carnes, his price is 17-1, which, I mean, it's one of those things. I don't know how your tournament mind thinks. Do you like when you see somebody you like that's like more expensive than he should be?
Yes.
Yeah,
I want him to be low owned. If I'm on him, I'm on him.
Yeah, so he's 17.1K, and it's just somebody that I don't think many people are going to play. If they're going to play in that area, they're going to play David Price, who's $100 more. So, again, we keep mentioning David Price's name, and it's certainly possible Price gets blown up. I don't think he will, but, you know, that's what tournaments are made for, I suppose.
It wouldn't shock me if Price gets hit by Colorado, as good as they've been against lefties this season. But I'm still playing him everywhere. So let's look at the other side of things here. When you're looking at the Mariners, we're not spending any time on Kendall Graveman, right? He's nothing to talk about.
Ground ball pitcher, though, and, you know, he gave up 4 home runs, I think, to Baltimore and Camden, I want to say. So if you look at his home run numbers, again, we do this the night before, and I haven't done my full research, but Kendall Graveman, off the top of my head, I feel like his home run to fly ball rate is like 20%, is it not?
To lefties, it's 10%, and to righties, it is 23%.
Okay, yeah, so it's probably, when it's put it all together, it's too high. It's going to correct itself. He's a ground ball pitcher, and if you look at the home runs he's given up, he gave up 4 to the Orioles in Camden. This is not Camden. This is in Safeco. So, I mean, certainly, you know, all the usual suspects again for you know, the Mariners are in play. Cano's in play. Seager. We know Nelson Cruz is a beast. But I don't feel like Kendall Graveman's not good. He's not a good pitcher, but I just don't feel like I have to have anybody in Seattle.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. I like Martin. He's hot. He's been moved up to that leadoff spot. Only 7,200 over on Fantasy Draft. Don't have his price right in front of me here on FanDuel, but a leadoff hitter in a great matchup, even a ground ball pitcher, is not going to scare me off of a guy like Martin because I'm targeting him for multi-hits and stolen bases.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think that's a big enough discount. 7.2, that doesn't jump off the page for me. I don't get excited.
Double digits in 5 straight games?
Yeah, but that doesn't help me tonight.
Double digit fantasy points definitely helps every night. Especially when you can get in 2 aces on the hill.
I mean, I suppose.
Not even double digits, at least 14 fantasy points in 5 straight.
By the way, you know what's his name? Leonis Martin. They can also throw him in the Yunel Escobar category. I've never rostered him the entire season.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's fine. I'm sure you've rostered Aoki, though.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, then I'll give you a free pass. One of my favorite One of my favorite tournament plays on the night here comes from this game, and it's Nelson Cruz, not a guy a lot of people will be on. And when Graveman struggles, it's usually against right-handed pitch or bats, and that's probably why he gave up so many home runs to Baltimore. They're loaded with righties. Love Nelson Cruz here. He's priced up across the industry, so he should be less than 5% owned.
No, I agree. People usually get excited with Cruz when they see him facing a lefty. When he's facing a righty, like you said about the ownership percentage, he'll be ignored. He's mostly ignored unless he's facing just an awful righty. He was, you know, he was heavily owned when he was in Cincinnati because it's the Reds and it's not just a starter but a terrible bullpen in that ballpark as well. They were on the road in the Great American Small Park, but this is back in Safeco. It's a late, you know, West Coast game. We know through the Jonathan Bales books, just the way people think, the West Coast games inevitably are always going to be lower owned because people put their lineups in 5-6 o'clock or so when, you know, those lineups are not even out just yet. So all those reasons are going to tell you that Nelson Cruz, you're right, 5% owned and double dong potential, certainly in play for tournaments. And I'm not saying he's a bad play. I think all those guys are good plays. Just when I'm just thinking from a cash game mentality, I don't feel like I have to have those guys unless they're somebody's on sale. I think they're all basically market price or hurricane prices, depending where you're shopping.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about the podcast. You get two perspectives here. Moving on, moving out, Cincinnati at Los Angeles, Mike Bolsinger and Daniel Wright. If you want exposure to the late games with low ownerships, this game right here is just screaming, play me.
So on Monday night, you know, it was Clayton Kershaw. How do you make Clayton Kershaw work, especially on a site like FanDuel? You get all the cheap Dodgers because they're facing Cincinnati in a terrible bullpen, right? Not Cincinnati. They're facing Finnegan in that bad bullpen. But the Dodgers just have a bunch of bats. You cannot trust any of them. Who do you trust in the Dodgers? I mean, Seager versus Wright, you can trust. Like, Puig, you cannot trust. Agon's still coming off that injury. Maybe some rust going on there. He's not done anything since he's come back. All right, so now they're facing Cincinnati's just desperate for arms. They're all beat up, and their bullpen's terrible, and they've had so many injuries, too. They're decimated. Disco Stew's coming back soon enough. Disco Flani, but for now, I think Daniel Wright's going to hold it down. I don't know a ton about this guy, but did a little research though before the podcast. Wasn't a prospect coming into the season. In fact, he was not even invited to spring training. He was not even invited to camp. He was like, you remember, okay, have you seen Major League? You've seen Major League before, right?
Yeah, one of my favorite movies.
You remember Willie Mays Hayes showed up and like they just like, wait a second, this dude wouldn't even be invited here. They took his bed and put it on first base. That's what they're doing to Daniel Wright. He showed up at spring training. They said, listen, you're not even part of the team. And then he sprinted. And they said, oh, he's running fast. We got to, like, give him an arm or something. So, yeah, that's not exactly what happened. That was a rendition. But Daniel Wright is going to be starting tomorrow. Now, here's the sneaky part. It's like, well, this guy must be terrible. Well, he's been really, really good, at least in single-A and triple-A. 0.79 ERA, 32-5 K-to-walk ratio. That is awesome in 34 innings. Now, again, that's double-A and triple-A. I'm probably going to throw some, you know, I'm going to throw some bats his way just because it's not just him, but it's the gas bag, the encompassing gas bag that is – you know, the entire Cincinnati bullpen, that's terrible. But again, who do you rely on in the Dodgers? Now, Seager's a great play against the righty, and we know that Reds bullpen, it's just one lefty lurking. As far as I know, it's Tony Cingrani. And Adrian Gonzalez, I think he's a perfectly fine play. Well, I've been yapping a lot here about Daniel Wright. I'll let you take over, but I'm look, the Dodgers are interesting because they're really cheap, and we don't know anything about Daniel Wright. He was not supposed to be good. He's been very good in double-A and triple-A, but this is the majors, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, I like them where they're cheap. They're not cheap on fantasy draft. Gonzalez, Peterson, Seager, all over 9K. They're not cheap at all. Even Utley is 8,700.
Whoa!
So yeah, you're not gonna want to really pick on the Dodgers here on fantasy draft, but love them on FanDuel. Love Gonzalez. I think he's a guy you can look at in cash games. Only 3K, like Dean said, you're getting a guy that getting the call up against, you know, in an awful bullpen as well. So definitely want to look at Adrian Gonzalez. Corey Seager is the one guy that you mentioned that you trust. He's a guy that I trust. He's a guy that you can play in just about any kind of format that you want to play in. So I don't mind him. And then, you know, looking at the other side of things, Bolsinger coming back from injury, you know, he dealt, you know, it wasn't great against the Angels. 7 hits and 4 1/3. And it's just, you expect more from him, especially after coming off of a pretty decent season last year.
I think he was on a pitch count, too, in that game, but I don't remember. So I'm not sure what his pitch count is these days, but it's hard to get enthused about Bolsinger, but that Cincinnati lineup is, you know, take him out of Cincinnati especially. Big ball, you know, ballpark downgrade from Cincinnati to L.A. I have a hard time. What's the upside on Bolson here? What are you hoping for? Five? You're hoping for five, maybe six innings, just enough to get the win, especially the win where it matters on a site like FanDuel, and maybe a run or two, maybe four or five Ks, and just load up on your bats.
I'm just intrigued at his $5,800 price tag.
I get it.
Yeah, he's not 3K, but 5,800, I'm intrigued by that. I don't know if this is a spot you really want to play him, but on the flip side of that, you were expecting the Dodgers to score runs off right. So if he gets me 30 points, you know, I don't think that's out of question here for Bolsinger if he gets the win.
Yeah, you have to grab that win, obviously. And again, it's sort of tricky. You're not really sure what's going to happen. It's hard to predict what's going to happen with Daniel Wright here. I mean, you know, I talked before with Zach Minor, just kind of talking about the idea of, you know, batters seeing a pitcher they've never seen before. Even if the skill isn't necessarily great there for Daniel Wright, none of these guys for the Dodgers have seen him, I'd imagine. Maybe one or two guys in the minor leagues. But for the most part, all these guys have never seen Daniel Wright. And it's one of those deals where Wright might do well the first time around and he might get to, you know, hammer the second time around after they adjust. But it's certainly going to be interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk bats here. Even though I like Bolsinger as a very deep tournament play, because I will say that I'm not saying I'm not going to roster him here, just because I do think 30 points is doable. I don't mind Joey Votto. His price tag is pretty cheap across the industry.
Yeah, he's fine. You know, Votto, it's the thing, like when you're watching Joey Votto hit, you have him rostered. It tilts you when he takes walks, right? You're not happy about this. You don't want those 2 points or 3 points or whatever it may be in that site.
As a tournament player, you know that I hate walks.
So then you must hate Joey Votto.
Yeah. The reason I don't mind Votto is his price. Like, he's 7,600 on Fantasy Draft. He's only 3,500 on FanDuel.
It's fair. It's a very fair price. And we always say the term, like, safe cash game play, which is really an oxymoron. There's, like, no such thing as that. But he is, like, I get why people would say it, and I probably said it before myself. He's probably not going to go 0-for-4. But is he going to double dong? Probably not.
So if you want some upside, Jay Bruce is a guy you can always look at for upside. He's a streaky power hitter that you want to get him on the hot streaks. And what I'm saying is, like, coming into this game against Kershaw, he was – you know, he has four straight games with no hits, and then before that he had five straight games with at least one hit. So he's a streaky guy. So it's tough to recommend Bruce, but he's always a guy you can look at in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I like him at home, just so you know. Kershaw locked him down. He was 0-for-3 against Kershaw. But if I'm going to roster Bruce, I get the power is legit, and he can, you know, when he gets a hold of it, he can bang it out of any park pretty much. But I like him at home where he can get a cheapie in Cincinnati as well.
San Diego at San Francisco, Jeff Samardzija, Andrew Kashner. Kashner getting activated from the DL in this game. Have to like the Shark here. Pitching really deep into games over the last few games and, you know, four straight with at least 7 2/3. So I really like him here as a SP2. But is he an SP2 with David Price's price being so cheap?
Well, that's the thing. You're saying SP2. He's the third most expensive pitcher on Fantasy Drafts.
Yeah, he might be a guy that I would consider for SP1. It really is going to come down to roster construction, because I think it's a slate that you can definitely fit in Price and Strasburg.
Yeah, I think I would go Price and Strasburg, like we talked about. You have 7K to play with, and you can certainly make it happen with guys like Chris Young. And who was the dude we made up, the guy's name we made up on the Royals, is 3.9K. You can play him as well, assuming he's once again batting second. Samardzija, the move to the National League has been perfect for him. The strike rate is back up facing these National League teams with the pitcher as well. Certainly helps. And that ballpark is awesome. And, oh, by the way, he's facing San Diego. We know San Diego is the absolute, without question, not even a conversation, worst hitting team in baseball when it comes to facing righties. I probably could have just stopped the worst team in baseball, but when you add, you know, even more so facing righties. I want to say, yeah, he threw 8 innings last time out against this very San Diego team that is getting shut out right now, and it's the 9th inning. And the only reason why Cueto doesn't have a win is because the score is 0-0. The Giants couldn't score either. But, yeah, so he feels really, really safe, and he's a guy that you didn't think – he was totally volatile last year when he was on he was in the White Sox last year. He was on several teams. He was like the White Sox last year? I don't know. He was very volatile in the American League, let's just say that. And he stabilized, but again – the price, I don't like that price all that much. It's the potential's there, the matchup is there, but I feel like I would reach up a little bit more to grab Strasburg or Sale.
I'm not a big Cashner fan. He really struggles against lefties. You're going to see some good lefties here. Panic, Belt, and Crawford, all three guys that I think you can look at here.
Yeah, I agree. Cashner, I want to like him. I mean, he's got the – I don't know if he's still rocking it. I haven't seen him in a while, obviously, but that mohawk beard thing he has going on, that's pretty awesome. It's hard not to rip for a guy that's rocking that. But like you say, he gives up a lot of dongs to lefties. As far as Belt, certainly Belt's one of those guys, again, a West Coast guy, gets ignored. His ownership is almost always low unless, of course, he's moved to Cincinnati or Coors. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, this Brandon Belt guy can actually hit the ball. Maybe I'll roster him. Didn't even know he was playing in the majors. Otherwise, San Francisco is just – oh, here you go. I want to mention this. Buster Posey, I know it's a righty, but I'm just surprised you haven't mentioned it. Have you not taken a peek there at the BBP there for – Posey versus Cashner?
I have.
Are you not intrigued?
I'm intrigued. He was actually the last guy that I was going to mention for my fantasy draft plays, but you go ahead. I'll let you steal my thunder here.
No, I don't have it in front of me. I know I took a peek earlier and I had to reset my computer, so I know that page, so fire away.
No, so Posey, in 25 at-bats, he has 11 hits, 2 home runs, and 0 strikeouts here against Andrew Cashner, batting .440. 1.220 OPS. He's only 7,200 on fantasy draft. He's actually my third and final fantasy draft play that Dean, kind of tried to take from me here.
That was an alley-oop. I wasn't trying to steal. I was not being Deion Waiters. I was passing.
No problem. And just to talk about how bad the Padres are, Matt Kemp just errored, and the Giants won in the bottom of the ninth with a walk-off error.
CGSO for Cueto. Boom! That is the combination's dual CGSOs of Kershaw and Cueto. I'm very excited on DraftKings. Go ahead.
All right. And that's pretty much going to wrap us up here on this.
Wait, no dogs?
No, the slate's done.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
Man, Dean. Now you're definitely not getting back for another month.
That's it. I'm on the list with Francisco Liriano. Never again.
So for if it's your first time listening, every day we do a home run derby. Each we'll rotate picks here, and we'll each take three guys. I haven't updated the standings where the hosts are against me. I have it all written down here on pen and paper in front of me, but I have to update it. I'll let you have first pick here.
I gotta say, I'm gonna pat myself on the back and say, last time I was here, I carried the visiting team because I called a Jose Altuve dong. I should get more than just one dong for that. But all right. There you go. I'm going to go chalky. Give me a chalky dong. Give me this Trout character.
Trout. I would expect you to go, pretty chalky here. I'm going to go Nelson Cruz.
Fair enough. Oh, is this a snake wall or is this back and forth?
No, we're just going back and forth.
All right. I got to pick something as far as the Crawford boxes. But who's going to bang one over the Crawford boxes? Manny Machado. There you go. Manny's not going out.
I'm going to stick in that game. I'm actually going to say Trumbo.
Ooh. All right. I'll see your Trump bomb and raise you an Jose Abreu.
I love the Jose Abreu call. I want to say Frazier, but I'm not going to stick in that game. I'm actually going to go who I think will be under-owned here, and that's Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah, but I don't know why I ignored Boston. They're pretty good, too.
Yeah, I got three good guys here. I'm not letting these hosts catch up to me here. We went really heavy on the Dodgers game on yesterday's podcast, and obviously that didn't work out for us. So moving on, moving out. If you had to pick one pitcher, not named Chris Sale, on this slate to pick up a win, who would it be?
You know what? I'm not going to take an easy way out and say Strasburg. I'm going to say Julio Teheran.
I like it. I'm going Justin Verlander. I think both those guys are really good spots to pick up wins, and they're on the cheap.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm perfectly fine with those guys. Probably not where I'm going in cash necessarily. Maybe he's an SP2. But I think they're both perfectly fine.
Dean, they can find you on Grinders Live almost every day at 5:30 here on Rotor Grinders. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I'm good, man. I'm looking forward to seeing where my teams have changed tonight with that Cueto CGSO.
Yeah, I will. I'll actually get your crossover tomorrow. I'm on the 4:30 show, so I'll lead into you tomorrow. So. You can find Dean on Twitter at @DFS_Almanac. If you guys want to check him out over on Twitter. He's always a good follow and always good with the witty comebacks. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. And if you like this podcast every day, make sure you go over to fantasydraft.com. Check them out. Use promo code Grinders. Support them. Support us. And check out their Survivor. I love their Survivor contest. They're running them here on this Tuesday slate. So make sure you guys check them out because we want to see more of those. We'll be back on Wednesday. So good luck on Tuesday, and we'll see you then.